Great. Well, now we are going to have our Bible reading. Why don't you get your Bibles open? If you didn't bring a Bible this morning, or you don't have one on your phone, then put a hand up and one of our team would love to bring you one. We're carrying on this morning in Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8 this morning, and we're picking up, it's just a short reading, verses 18 through to 22. 18 through to 22. So just to say, if you haven't been with us on Sunday mornings, last year sometime we spent some time looking at Matthew chapter 5 to 7. And in 5 to 7 we see Jesus up a mountain, his disciples gathered round him, and Jesus is teaching them. It's a classroom setting. And he's teaching them about following him. And at the beginning of chapter 8, which is where we picked up our new series, Jesus is coming down a mountain. And I think Matthew kind of weaves this together to say, well, look, we're moving out of the classroom into the real world, down the mountain, like life in Enfield, life in your family, life in your work settings. And now we're learning what it looks like to live out that classroom stuff in the real world. So we're getting really earthy on Sunday mornings, really kind of grappling with what it looks like for you and I to follow Jesus here in Enfield in 2020. So let's pick up the reading, chapter 8 and verse 18. When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. Then a teacher of the law came to him and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Another disciple said to him, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus told him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." Well, this is God's word to us this morning. Let's ask God's help and then let's think about this short reading together. Our God and our Father in heaven, we thank you for this portion of your word that is before us this morning. We thank you that it is food to our souls. It is light to our path. It is more precious than silver and gold. And so, Father, we would simply ask this morning that you would teach us. That, Father, my voice, as it were, might fade into the background today. And what we hear, what we walk away hearing today, is the voice of the living Jesus calling us to follow him and telling us what it means to follow him. Father, equip us for all that following him will mean this week. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. At the beginning of the 19th century, what we see is an explorer named Ernest Shackleton. Anyone heard of Ernest Shackleton? About 1912. And it's reported, no one's ever found the advert, but it's reported that he was trying to gather a crew for his new expedition to the South Pole. And so he put an advert in the London Times that read this: "Men wanted for a hazardous journey, small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness, constant danger, safe return doubtful, honor and recognition in the case of success. Ernest Shackleton." Now, if you'd have seen a job advert like that, I wonder how many of us in this room may have thought, that's the job for me. Although it's interesting that one historian, they've never found this advert, by the way, just as an interesting, they've never found this advert, but one historian does report that in chatting to Ernest Shackleton, he was inundated with people who wanted to go with him as he journeyed to the South Pole. That may not be a job advert that we'd leap at answering, but Ernest Shackleton, this explorer, was certainly upfront and he was certainly truthful about what was involved if you were going to follow him to the South Pole. Something great at the end, honor, recognition, the chance to discover the South Pole, but along the way, there's going to be hardships. It's going to be a tough journey. It's going to be hard. And this morning, friends, in a bit of Matthew's gospel that we've just read together, I want to suggest to you that the Lord Jesus is doing something similar to this advert when it comes to following him. not to the South Pole, but to following him in life, to following him here in Enfield, to following him in your families, in your workplaces, in your life, that you may experience it now. You see, just look with me at verse 18. The scene is set. When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. There is a huge crowd following Jesus. They're signed up. They're thinking, wow, this guy is something special. Not least because they've just seen what he's done in verse 16, if you were with us when Tim preached last week. This incredible taste of heaven on earth, this healing, this power, this reversing of the curse. And there's this crowd that has flocked to Jesus. And Jesus, with this crowd on one side and a lake on the other side, turns around and he says, let's cross to the other side of the lake. The boats are ready. They're sort of bobbing on the side of the lake. The course is set. Jesus is ready to leave. But the crowds now have a choice, don't they? You see that? Crowds one side, boats in the middle, the journey's ahead. The crowds now have a choice. Are they really going to follow Jesus? Are they going to get in the boat? And are they going to cross with Jesus to the other side of the lake? Are they really going to go with him? Are they really going to follow him? And as Jesus kind of puts this choice before the crowds, crowds one side, lake the other side, will you follow him? Let's cross over. Are you going to go with him? This choice for the crowd stirs conversation. And what we have before us this morning are two conversations that are stirred by Jesus saying, we're going to go, are you going to follow me? Two conversations about stepping into the boat. Jesus puts before us in these two conversations and before the crowds listening in, the raw realities of following him today. The raw realities of stepping into the boat with Jesus and saying, yes, Jesus, I'm coming with you. Like Shackleton's advert, which is on the screen, Jesus isn't going to kind of put some small print in that you're going to get caught out by later. Jesus is going to be upfront with us. He's going to be honest with us about what's involved in following him today in the real world where we live. He's not doing it to put you off. I just want to say this morning. You kind of think, you know, if it was your campaign to gather as many people to follow you as possible, you'd think you'd kind of hide all the difficult stuff and just put all the benefits, wouldn't you? You know, follow me and you'll have a free watch and, you know, you had a free iPad and you'd attract people in. But Jesus just says it as it is because he's not a liar. He's not trying to deceive you when he calls you to follow him. He wants to spell it out for you. Set the right expectation. And I want to say to some of you this morning that these conversations that we're about to tune into, we're about to listen to, are a word to those of us this morning that are kind of standing on the shore, looking at the boats, looking at Jesus, weighing it all up and saying, am I going to go with him? Is this a man I'm going to follow? Is this a man I'm going to attach myself to and trust and walk with all the days of my life? This is a word to you this morning. What's involved? If you're going to get in that boat with Jesus, if you're going to say, for the rest of my life, I want to follow him, then Jesus is going to spell out for you this morning what that really means. And for those of us that are perhaps already in the boat, some of us are in the boat this morning, we've said, no, Jesus, we're following you, and we want to walk that path, then I want to say to us this morning that this is just reminding us what we're signing up to, or we've signed up to. It's reminding us of the realities of following Jesus. Some of us may have turned up today and we're just finding following Jesus is a bit hard work. It's a bit tough on life. And we just need reminding this morning from Jesus, this is what it looks like to follow him. So you ready? Here's these two conversations. Jesus says that if we are going to follow him, these are two things we must know. Following Jesus, first of all, Jesus wants us to know that it will be costly. Following him will be costly. Look at verse 19. Then a teacher of the law came to Jesus and said, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. Now that's some enthusiasm, isn't it? That's the kind of campaign you want. You want, yeah, here's someone who's going to leap on, a teacher of the law. They don't get a great reputation, actually, in Matthew's gospel. But here's one who's coming to Jesus and saying, hey, I'm going to follow you, Jesus. I'm gonna jump in the boat with you. Count me in. Book me a seat. I am going to get in that boat and follow you, Jesus. I want to learn from you. I want to attach myself to you. Huge enthusiasm. Huge commitment. And in fairness, why wouldn't you commit to Jesus? He has just lived through verse 16. Have a look back at verse 16. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to Jesus, and he drove out the spirits with a word, and he healed all who were ill. Now that was quite an evening. Tim took us through this last week. That was like a taste of heaven on earth. Now who wouldn't want to be in the company of Jesus when life is like that? Wouldn't you want to be in life, in a company of Jesus when if life was just like that all the time? Illness, everyone just turned away at a word. No sufferings, no sadness. Wouldn't you want to follow Jesus? Wouldn't you be like the teacher of the law running up to the edge of the boat saying, Jesus, count me in. But look at verse 16 again. Sorry, it's not 16. Look at verse 19 and 20. As he asks this question, Jesus kind of says an answer that perhaps may kind of shock some of us. It feels like Jesus pours water on the fire of this man's enthusiasm. Look what he says, verse 20. He says, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. As this man says, I want to follow you and I want to step in the boat with you, Jesus looks him in the eye and says, actually, there's something you've got to know about me. And the first thing, which is kind of hidden in the middle, is he says to him, I am the Son of Man. You know that? It's just nestled in the middle. You know, we our eyes are drawn to the fox's stuff, and we'll come to that. But look at what he says to him. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. If we're going to follow Jesus, one of the things we have to understand is that he is the Son of Man. Now, the reason I draw attention to that is that this is the first time that Jesus refers to himself in Matthew's Gospel as the Son of Man. And we know it's a significant title because he goes on to use it 30 more times about himself in Matthew's Gospel. This is a title that would not have been lost on a teacher of the law that was coming up to Jesus and saying, I'm going to follow you. The Son of Man was a promised figure in the Old Testament, promised in the Old Testament prophecy of Daniel. And here is one promised, and he's called one like a Son of Man. And in Daniel's prophecy, this Son of Man is one to whom God gives all authority. He gives all power. And to whom God will use to establish a kingdom that will last forever. And it will be a good kingdom. It will be the kingdom that you get a glimpse of in verse 16. Life where all sickness and all pain is gone and every sin has been paid for. The Son of Man. And Jesus says to this teacher of the law, I am the Son of Man. I am him. I am the one who is going to bring about this kingdom, the best kingdom you can imagine, where all pain and suffering will be gone. At the very end of Matthew's Gospel, Jesus says, I have been given all authority on heaven, in heaven and on earth. Jesus is the Son of Man. You've got to understand that if you're going to follow him. That's where it's heading. That is the end. That is the great kingdom that Jesus will establish. But he looks this man in the eye and he says, I am the Son of Man, but you have to understand something about me now. You have to understand something about me on this earth. Look again at verse 20. I am the Son of Man, but I have nowhere to lay my head. I have nowhere to lay my head. Now, what does Jesus mean? You've got to wrestle with these things. You've got to start engaging your brain. Foxes have dens, birds have nests, but the Son of Man, this one who has all authority, all power in heaven and on earth, has nowhere to lay his head when he rocks up to earth. What is Jesus saying? Well, he's saying that foxes have places to call home. Have places to lay their head, to feel secure, to feel comfortable. Birds have nests where they perch, they can call home, where they can have security and comfort. But Jesus had none of that when he came to earth. He looks this teacher of the eye in the law and he says, if you want to follow me, you are following one who has given up everything for the sake of others. He has given up everything, the comforts of heaven for the struggles of earth. Jesus, think about it. He was born in a borrowed stable. And where did they lay him in his death? A borrowed tomb. He had nothing. He gave up everything for us. He had no possessions. He had no place in society. His teaching was met with anger and jealousy. Even his friends abandoned him at the moment of the cross. As his life and ministry progressed, he was increasingly unwelcomed. He was increasingly persecuted and eventually was taken outside a city, treated like an outcast, and was crucified like a criminal. You know, it says here that he didn't have anywhere to lay his head. Literally, it means to bow his head. It's interesting that the only other time that Matthew describes Jesus bowing his head, having somewhere to lay his head, is when he dies at the cross. That's the place Jesus was aiming for. That's what Jesus was here to do. That's what following the Son of Man, that's who you're following. Jesus gave up everything for us, to save us and to forgive us. And he says to this teacher of the law, and he says to us this morning, because that's why we've got these words recorded, if you want to follow me, then that is what you're signing up to. This is what you can expect. And not to steal the thunder of the next few weeks, partly because I'm preaching some of them myself, but just cast an eye down the rest of the stories, okay? If you get in that boat and you follow Jesus across that lake, what's the very first thing that happens to them? What's the next thing that happens? There's a storm. Wow, Jesus, come on, man, I've stepped in the boat, I've committed. And then they find themselves right in the middle of a storm. And then they go over to the other side of the lake, and there's an amazing miracle. Jesus heals someone that no one has been able to touch. And then what happens at the end of their miracle? Oh, Jesus, you're fantastic. No. Could you leave? Could you get out of here? That's who we're following. That's what happens if you get in the boat with Jesus. Storms, rejection. You see, friends, following Jesus will be costly. And sometimes it will be costly because it will be enforced upon us. The cost will come out of our control. Just simply by being associated with Jesus, it will cost you stuff. You want to follow his teaching? Then it won't be long until you find that you're unwelcome in certain places. It won't be long until you find you're rejected by people. It won't be long until you're persecuted. You want to walk his way? Be obedient to him. Trust in his cross. You will soon find yourself mocked, challenged, and pushed away. Sometimes it will just come because we're saying, Jesus, we're with you. And it will be enforced upon us. The cost will come. Sometimes, friends, it will be costly because we choose for it to be costly. We choose to go without, but for the sake of following our Lord Jesus. There are all sorts of ways that following Jesus may cost us. It may be costly because we want to take a smaller mortgage, or we want to drive a slightly older car, or we go on a slightly lesser holiday because we want to use our money to follow Jesus. It may be that we use our home more or our food bills more to serve others because we want to follow Jesus. When we understand that this is not our home, that this is not the place to set up a den or a nest, then it starts to change the way we think about this world. And friends, following Jesus can cost us our comfort. If you're committed to getting in the boat with Jesus and walking his way, at times it will cost you your comforts. Whether that's the comfort of getting in from work and wanting to just sit on the sofa rather than going out to a grow group, and you're tired and you're thinking, I can't go out this evening, but it will cost you your comfort of an evening in front of the TV because you want to get out and follow Jesus and be with his people and learn. It will cost you your comfort sometimes because you'll choose to do something that you wouldn't normally do for the sake of following Jesus. It will be costly. And so I want to say to you this morning, will you follow him? Will you get in the boat with Jesus, even though it's costly? It's costly, but it's worth it because we're following the Son of Man. We're following the one to whom God has given all authority in heaven and on earth and has established a kingdom that will never end. Following Jesus is costly. Will you follow him? Second thing Jesus wants us to know about following him is that following him must take priority. Following Jesus must take priority. I just want to be really honest and say I've really wrestled this week with this second conversation about burying a dad and letting the dead bury their own dead. You've got to get your head into the Bible sometimes and say, Jesus, what are you saying? What actually are you communicating? But I want to say that actually this is where I've landed. This is where we... Oh, are we okay? Have we got a runner? That's fine. Don't worry about that. I think it's all right. Are we okay out there? Ooh. We'll just give it a moment. Okay. Should we just pray for that? Let's just one of the kids is a bit upset, so let's say a prayer, shall we? God, our Father, we just want to commit to you the situation out there. Father, we thank you for those who serve our children. Father, we pray, please, for the child that seems to be upset out there. Father, please, would you calm them, give them the ability to get back to the group if it's appropriate. Father, please help us as we keep thinking about what Jesus is saying here, and we ask it in his name. Amen. Good. So I've wrestled a little bit with what Jesus is saying, but this is where I've landed, okay? I think Jesus is saying to us here that if you follow him, he has to be our priority. Jesus has to be our priority. That means that I think Jesus is telling us is that following him, whatever that may be for you right now, whether that is he's calling you to do something specific, whether he's calling you for the first time to follow him, if he is calling you to follow him, he is saying that that is to become a priority over the things that you need to do sometimes and even the things that you want to do. So just look at verse 21. Another disciple came to Jesus and says, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Now, the person who comes and says this, again, is described as a disciple. So they're already in some way signed up to following Jesus. Jesus, I'm in. I'm in to get in the boat. I'm there. You know, book me a seat. I'm coming with you. But this is someone who seems to make a pretty reasonable request. Doesn't it seem reasonable to you? I think it seems reasonable. First, let me go and bury my father. It seems right. It seems fair. And Jesus' answer in verse 22, doesn't it then seem a little bit harsh? And I guess the thing is that we've got to reason with what is the man asking. Because I guess that most of us would read this and think, his dad must have just died. And so he's got to kind of make all the funeral preparations and go back and bury his dad, and then he'll get in the boat and follow Jesus. I guess that's what we're thinking. But it's unlikely in that culture that if the dad had literally just died, that the man would have been in that crowd because of the way that they operated in that culture. Then the man would have been at home. The man would have been taking care of the family. The man would have been making arrangements. It was a very important thing for the family to do. He would not have been in a crowd with Jesus if his dad had just died. And actually, it turns out that this request, let me go and bury my father, was an idiom, an expression for, I've got to take care of my parents until they die. Lord, I've got to hang back here. I've got a responsibility. And then I will follow you. Does that make sense to people? And so, actually, he's saying, Lord, I've got something to do first before I follow you. Before I get in the boat, before I kind of give myself to you, there's some things I've got to get out the way. And so look at verse 22. Then Jesus says to him, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. So Jesus' answer in short, this man's asking to delay a bit, and Jesus' answer in short is no. Follow me. He says, follow me. Don't delay. Do it today. Following me must be a priority, even over responsibility, sometimes family responsibilities. Now, Jesus' answer then may seem a bit harsh to us, mustn't it? Jesus, are you really saying that sometimes we should follow you over taking care of our families? Do you not care about our families? Well, of course Jesus cares about families. A little later in Matthew's gospel, we'll find him rebuking a group of people for not honouring their father and mother. And even the Apostle Paul, who teaches with the authority of Jesus, says, anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own households, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So it can't possibly be that Jesus is saying, don't care for your family. But what Jesus does see, perhaps, in this man, in this request, is something that needs challenging. Jesus has to be a priority. Jesus has to come high on the list. Following Jesus has to be first. And when I was growing up, my dad always used to use this phrase. He says, son, first things first. I had no idea what he meant. It sounded great. And I just nodded in agreement. And I thought, that sounds good, Dad. I'll first things first. But I get it now. What he was saying to me was, make the most important thing the first thing that you do, always. And that is, in effect, what Jesus is saying to would-be followers. You see, maybe you're here this morning and you're a would-be follower. You're looking at the boat, weighing it all up. Am I going to get in the boat? Am I going to go with this guy? Am I going to follow him? And Jesus is saying, yes, but you've got to make it your priority. Don't be delaying. Don't say, well, I might follow him, but I'll just finish up this stuff first. And to those of us who are long-standing disciples, he's saying to us, yes, make me your priority. Keep making me your priority. Following Jesus must come first. And at times, and this is difficult teaching, but it's what Jesus is saying, at times, following him will even walk over earthly responsibilities, family responsibilities. See, I want to ask you this morning, are there reasons that you are delaying starting to follow the Lord Jesus? Teenagers, perhaps you guys are thinking, well, maybe, hey, I'll start following Jesus, but I just want to get through these teenage years, have my fun, settle down, and then I'll start following Jesus. Maybe some of us here as adults are thinking, well, family life's pretty busy at the moment, work's pretty busy, I've still got a body that can run around and do sports, so those things kind of matter to me at the moment, and I'll follow Jesus, I'll do what it takes, but I'll wait a little bit, I'll get those things done first. For those of us that might call ourselves disciples of Jesus already, are there reasons that we're perhaps delaying in following Jesus in certain things he might be calling us to do? Perhaps some of us here are feeling a call to go overseas and to share Jesus with another nation. And maybe you're sitting there thinking, yeah, well, I'm going to do that, but first, Jesus, I need to do this, this, and this. Maybe some of us, it's a call to get involved in a ministry at church. You know there are places in church where people need serving and loving and stuff needs doing, and you're thinking, I'm going to do that, but Jesus, I just need to do this thing first. Once I'm a little bit less busy, or once I've done this, then I'll get involved in something. Then I'll serve you. Then I'll follow you in this way. Maybe for some of us, it's a call to move somewhere new for the sake of Jesus. Maybe you're being called to an area, pulled to an area. Hey, we may do another church plant again at some point. Who knows? But in those kind of ways, if Jesus is calling you, what are you going to say? Jesus, I will do it after. Delay. Maybe it's to call to join a prayer triplet. There you go. I knew I'd get a plug in for it somehow this morning. Join a prayer triplet. Well, I will, Jesus, but once I've finished this project at work, or once I have done this or that, or will you fill in the gaps? Jesus, I will give more sacrificially. I will follow you. I will give a bit more of my money to help the work of Jesus, but I'll do it once I've got my pay rise. I'll do it once I'm earning a little bit more money. I'll do it once I've cleared off this loan. See, there's all sorts of reasons, aren't there, that we can be like this man and say, Jesus, I will follow you, I will get in the boat, but actually after I've done this. There's all sorts of reasons we may delay. And Jesus is challenging us here and saying, don't delay. Don't delay because of earthly responsibilities. Follow him, whatever that may mean for you this morning, and we'll all be different. Whatever following him may look like, do it today. Don't delay. Jesus says to this man, look at verse 22, follow me. Follow me. Get in the boat. Come with me. Yes, it's costly. Yes, it will take priority on things. But it's absolutely worth it because Jesus is the Son of Man. Ernest Shackleton, 1912-ish, put an advert up. And he was up front and he was honest. And he said, if you want to follow me to the South Pole, this is what it's going to look like. Friends, someone much more great than Ernest Shackleton is calling to us this morning, follow me. Follow me. And he is being straight with us. It will be costly. We need to be real about the road of following Jesus. And we must be real about the priority it must take. Be prepared for new priorities. To those of you this morning who are here and you're standing on the edge of the shore and you haven't yet ever got in the boat with Jesus, and I would say to you, he says, he's calling to you this morning, follow him. Yes, it will be costly. Yes, it will mean that you at times have to lay down some earthly responsibilities. It will cost you your comforts at times, but it's absolutely worth it because Jesus is the Son of Man. Will you get in the boat this morning? Will you say to Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to follow you, the one who went to the cross, who bowed down your head and gave up your life so that I could be forgiven. Jesus, I'm in. I'm in the boat. Will you say that today? And for those of us who are in the boat this morning, those of us who are sitting there, I want to say to you, remember what we've signed up to. Remember who we're following. The Christian life can be costly. The Christian life can must take priority. But friends, this is what we signed up to when we said, I'm following Jesus, the one who was rejected and persecuted and opposed for me. He is the one who made me a priority over his own comforts. And I want to follow him. I want to be like him. That's what it means to follow Jesus. Maybe there are some of you here today who need to commit to making Jesus your priority. Maybe there is something in your life that is delaying you following Jesus in some way. And before you leave this morning, why don't you commit to saying, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to stop that thing from delaying me any further, and I'm going to follow you today. Can I just finish with verse 23? Look at verse 23 with me. I know this is the passage we're going to look at next week, but look at verse 23. Then Jesus got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Friends, this morning, will you get into the boat? Will you keep following Jesus? Will you start following Jesus? His disciples followed him. Friends, let's pray together, and then let's sing a couple of songs as we finish this morning. Our God and our Father in heaven, we want to thank you this morning for Jesus. We thank you that he is the Son of Man to whom you have granted all authority in heaven and on earth. We thank you that he is the one who will one day bring this world under his authority and control and will establish a kingdom where there is no sins and sufferings. Thank you that he is the one worthy to be followed. We praise you for Jesus this morning. Thank you that he did lay down his head on a cross so that we might be forgiven. And Father, this morning we would want to recommit ourselves, many of us in this room, to following Jesus, even though it's costly, even though it must take priority. Lord, please, we want to say this morning that we're ready. We want to get in the boat. We want to follow Jesus. Father, we know that at times that will be costly. Please help us to bear the cost of following Jesus, whatever that may mean for us. Father, please help us to make him our priority. Father, we know that's going to involve tough decisions at times. Please help us. And we ask those, Father, for those here this morning that are not yet following Jesus. Please, this morning, would you help them to see the beauty of getting in the boat with Jesus, even though it's costly. Lord, please, today, would you help us, all of us here, to be those who follow Jesus into the boat. And we ask it in his name. Amen.